And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Go.
I'm Andrew here with Braden.
Yes, sir.
And we've got some good things to talk about with the Jazz. It's been a couple weeks since we last met, but we'll get right into it. How's your week been?
Oh, man, it's been so good. It's been nice weather outside. We got sports going. College football's on the horizon.
Oh, yeah.
Good time to be alive. How are you doing?
Oh, doing so well. Doing so well. Loving the summer.
That's good. Well, there's a lot of exciting things in our episode today. Of course, we'll be talking about Utah Jazz Summer League, Vegas Summer League. We've got lots to update on. Also, we'll talk about the late, great Frank Layden, talk about some Jazz trades. And then we'll talk about some NBA news. There's some big moves coming around the NBA. And then, of course, we'll close out with local sports.
Make sure to follow us on all of the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you can find us. We'll be there. And then check out our past couple episodes, too. We've talked a lot about the incoming rookies, Ace Bailey, Walter Clayton. If you want to learn more about them, check out our past couple episodes and stay tuned in.
And this is episode 78 of Tuned In Jazz. Well, a legend has passed on, Frank Layden.
He'll be missed. He lived a long life. I think yes, he was like 93, right?
93. And you know, I think you could credit Frank Layden for a lot of the Jazz success in their franchise history. You think about it.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of started. He was the coach there at the beginning of the Stockton Malone era. Kind of passed the baton to Jerry Sloan, but just an incredible coach. Meant a lot to us here in Utah, so kind of a sad loss, but.
Yeah, definitely. I think another cool thing with Frank Layden is like he was literally a Jazz head coach from the beginning of the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, like exactly.
Really like our first coach ever, essentially. So he kind of came in. We definitely were not a great team, right? Coming from Utah because they had to sell the team. But he kind of built us up into like a pretty respectable franchise after being sold from New Orleans. So I think, honestly, the first thing I'd say for Frank Layden is he took what was not a great team that honestly was kind of laughingstock at the NBA getting sold, and he turned it into like a decent franchise. And then after Frank Layden passed the baton to Jerry Sloan, we became a championship-level team.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think you have to give credit to him for what we have today. There would be no Utah Jazz without Frank Layden, of course.
I totally agree. It kind of reminds me a little of like the Warriors. I don't know why. Just thinking of the Warriors, how it's like Steve Kerr. He's a great coach, of course, just as Jerry Sloan was. But Steve Kerr just was kind of given this team that was like ready to compete, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And by Mark Jackson, you know, Don Nelson, those type of guys. Kind of what Frank Layden did for Jerry Sloan. Jerry Sloan was a great coach, but he was also given a great situation because of Frank Layden. So pretty incredible.
Yeah. And so I think, yeah, no matter whether you are handed the championship team,
absolutely,
whether you're handed a crappy team and turn them into something good, all is appreciated, all is necessary.
Absolutely.
And I'll say definitely thankful for Frank Layden, what he did with the Jazz. And we'll keep looking at his name in the rafters.
Absolutely. Be up there forever.
Oh, yeah.
A guy that won't be up there forever, though, John Collins.
Good transition.
Actually, though, you know, we do, John Collins had a nice little run with us. We didn't love him at first, but this last year we were falling in love with him a little more. But it was kind of inevitable. We saw it coming, honestly.
Yeah, I guess I know a lot of like NBA fans look at the Jazz trading John Collins and they think like, wow, the Jazz got like nothing back.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. What would you say to the people that say like, wow, we got Kyle Anderson, Kevin Love. Kevin Love probably is going to get bought out.
Yeah.
So like, what do you say to people that are like, wow, you got nothing back?
Oh, dude. I mean, he kind of just needed to get out. I will say I am kind of on that boat of like, with the Sexton trade, this trade, I'm kind of a little disappointed in the front office for not getting more. But you know what? I don't know. Maybe they'll make a couple Kevin Love jerseys because I need me a Kevin Love Utah Jazz jersey, I think.
Yeah, but, as of right now, he's not been bought out.
That's true.
I have heard rumors that he might.
He's probably thinking about retirement. He's got to be getting close to
So, and he probably doesn't want to move his family that far, but
there's a lot of factors here.
So we'll see if him and Kyle Anderson end up actually playing for the Jazz. I would say I am also a little bit disappointed, like most people, but I think you can't look at the past like, oh, I wish in the past we could have traded him for more.
Yeah.
This is the market that he is right now.
Absolutely.
Even though John Collins, you could argue like his value is probably the highest it's ever been.
That's true.
When we traded for John Collins, you remember we traded Rudy Gay and a second round pick. We basically got him for nothing anyways.
Yeah.
And so like flipping him for Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson, it's basically just to shed salary, right?
Yeah, it was a big contract.
Right. And so don't be worried. We're opening up minutes for our young guys. And then also with the Jazz, after this move, they have a lot of cap room. You could see one or two of those little Danny Ainge trades at the trade deadline where we just pick up an expiring contract for like a draft pick or a contract somebody doesn't want to pay. So I don't know. We have a lot of flexibility. And I think personally, even though these moves appear like we're losing all of them, I think it'll be great to open up minutes for the young guys and kind of force them into central roles on the team.
Yeah, we've kind of been talking about that a lot too. Like, it's kind of weird. We started rebuilding, but it really hasn't felt like we were rebuilding until like recently.
Yeah.
Like we were just kind of like holding on, like in case somebody wanted to come play.
We're kind of retooling. Like, we don't want to let go of our good players.
Yeah, but we're like,
we think we might be decent, but now we're like finally.
Yeah. But even like the teams we had were like, this is still only like a 25-30 win team. Like this is not great. We don't have any like guys here. And so I feel really hopeful. We'll talk about Summer League. Well, I guess we can talk about Summer League now, but one thing that I thought was really cool, there was some real energy in that stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Like people, as soon as Ace was about to touch the ball, or even guys like Flip or Cody, like when they were shooting it, everybody, like you could feel like the energy rising and falling, and you're like, this is what we've been missing. Like Jazz games the last couple of years have not felt like that to me. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I guess transitioning into Summer League.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give a background. We've played four games so far.
Yeah.
If you just look at our win-loss record, you'll think, okay, 1-3 in Las Vegas, 3-0 in Salt Lake. We'll still remember that.
Yeah.
We lost to the Hornets in a like 6-point game, pretty close. Mm-hmm. Lost to the Warriors in a pretty close game as well. And then that Spurs overtime game, that was insane. We lost on a buzzer-beating fadeaway by a guy I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah.
And then we finally beat the Wizards on Wednesday. But a little up and down with the losses. But
yeah,
what would you say is your like main takeaways from these four games?
Oh, man. Honestly, one of the funniest narratives I've seen on social media is that a lot of these Jazz guys are too good for Summer League, which I think is funny because it's like they're all second and third year guys like everybody else. But like the Jazz have some guys. As far as Summer League goes, I mean, we're kind of a stacked roster. So I just thought that was cool that like people recognize that Jazz actually have some talent here. Like this isn't a bunch of G League guys, you know?
I guess how many guys on the Jazz would you say are too good for Summer League then?
Like on the actual roster?
Yeah, like how many guys on our team do you feel like are at that level where it's like, yeah, they belong. They can dominate Summer League.
Yeah, I would say obviously Lowry and...
Of the guys on the Summer League team. Yeah.
I don't think... in retrospect, like you look at Kyle Filipowski and you're like, he's going off. But he didn't really like have a solid role last year. So I don't think that it was like weird to put him on the team, you know?
No, yeah. I'm saying like I look at Kyle Filipowski on the Summer League team.
Yeah.
And he just fits perfectly in. Absolutely. Whenever he's on the court, we're amazing.
Yeah.
So I'd say he's one of the guys I would call too good for Summer League.
Yeah.
In a great way. I think this has been really good for him.
Yeah.
And then I'd also say, honestly, Walter Clayton already kind of looks like that to me.
Yeah.
Where he's only played a couple games.
Yeah.
But he's already looked to the point where I feel like he's one of the better Summer League players too.
Yeah.
And then maybe Isaiah Collier as well would be the third one.
Yeah. Isaiah hasn't like played amazing, but it kind of just feels like he's not really like, it kind of feels like he's too good for it because he's like, he already proved a lot last year.
Yeah.
With I also think, obviously, Bryce Sensabaugh, you could actually probably make an argument Bryce Sensabaugh shouldn't have been on this team this year.
Yeah, he did so well in Salt Lake. 38 points, right?
Yeah, he's been hooping, so we love to watch him play.
Yeah, I'll read Kyle Filipowski's stats.
Yeah.
If you look at him, he's actually the leading scorer of any player for points per game. He's averaging 29.3 points per game.
Insane.
Shooting 56% from the field and 39% from three.
Wow.
Which is fantastic. I think that's one thing I like took away from Kyle Filipowski is his three-point shot is for real.
Yeah.
Like at least the first half of his rookie year, I was not sure about his three-point shot, but think from summer league and maybe the last couple games of the season, his three-pointers for real.
Yeah, with Kyle Filipowski, I think it's interesting because I think his biggest question mark for me still is like, what position is Kyle Filipowski?
Yeah, that's so fair.
Because so me and you each went to a summer league game, or here in Salt Lake, at least not Vegas, but and the one I went to, he was being guarded by, or he was trying to guard Adam Bona from the Sixers, and he was just getting like bodied all game, and he couldn't like keep up with people, and I was like, I can't tell if Kyle Filipowski's just like a big wing or if he's just like a center that needs to bulk up, or I feel like that's my biggest question with him right now, but there's no question that he adds value when he's on the floor. He's incredible.
I think defensively, mm-hmm. I like him better as a power forward.
I think so too, yeah.
Because he can block shots, but he doesn't really feel like an anchor to a defense to me.
Yeah.
Unless, like, I know a lot of Warriors teams have had a lot of success without an anchor.
Yeah.
So maybe he could play, like, small ball center or power forward.
That's true.
But then on offense, I think center or power forward, like, because you know he can space the floor out, so like if we want some room for some driving lanes, you could put him at center and he could mm-hmm. space the floor, or you could put him at power forward and I think same thing, like he can kind of space it. So I don't know, I'd say overall I'd probably like him better at power forward just because I don't really know if I can trust him as the anchor, but
I
could see some upside offensively with him at the center. I'll say that.
I think defensively, especially with the way NBA is where it's like pretty much 1 through 4 is all like wings on most teams. And you're only going to have one or two nights like against the Bucks where you're like, oh crap, he's guarding Giannis.
Yeah, you know? At that point, maybe we slide into the three.
But I mean, to be honest, who's guarding Giannis anyways?
Yeah, he's just Giannis, have to live with that.
But against most fours, you're like, I feel okay about Kyle Filipowski. Yeah, I totally agree. I think, and if he can stretch the floor at the four, it's, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think one thing, maybe moving on from Filipowski, how have you felt about Cody Williams?
Ooh, I was hoping we'd get to this. Dude, making a bold prediction here, but I smell a most improved player.
Ooh, that is pretty bold. Okay.
Well, but only because of how horrible his first season was.
That's fair. He has a lot to improve.
For him, if he averages 10, 11 points a game, maybe that he probably wouldn't win most improved player with that, but anyways, I've been really impressed. That was one of the things, I feel like we mentioned it so many times, his confidence.
Yeah.
But he was shooting a lot, and he wasn't always making, sometimes his shot's still a little off, but hey, it's a huge leap in the right direction.
Yeah, his stats, 19 points a game, 44% from the field, and 28% from three.
That's not horrible.
Still not
great.
Great shooting splits, but yeah. 28% from three still feels better than what he was doing before.
Absolutely.
And then I think he's got 4 rebounds and 3 assists.
Yeah.
I actually saw a Reddit post about Cody Williams Summer League mm-hmm. 2 days ago that I like think I agree with pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read a couple of what this guy said. It's RVA Lover for Life on Reddit.
Okay.
Seems like a very invested Jazz fan.
Shout out RVA Lover.
Yeah, sure. But on Reddit, this guy said he was impressed with Cody Williams in Summer mm-hmm. League. He said, on straight line drives and spot up threes and transition, Cody was great. His jumper looks a little bit better. He's quicker. His balance is better. He can be someone who makes a spot up three or drives to the rim. And then I don't know exactly where he said it, but I really like how he said, Cody Williams will probably not be a playmaker, but he'll be a play finisher.
Mm,
is that,
I like that.
I think that's perfect for him, because I don't love when Cody Williams is trying to self-create and do the pick and roll and drive to the paint, because he sometimes fumbles the ball, he gets it stolen, lots of turnovers in the paint when he's trying to do that. But I think if Cody Williams is kind of a play finisher where he's standing on the three-point line or he's cutting to the basket, I think he can hit those spot up threes and he can be strong at the rim. You can see physically he's bulked up from last year, so he can finish at the rim a lot more easily. So I would say my takeaway from Cody is I think he can be a supporting player off the bench where he puts up maybe 10 to 12 points a game just from finishing off plays from other guys. But I don't know. Do you agree with that? I feel like that was a perfect
I totally agree. I think along that same line, we talked about this a little in our last episode, I think. But last year, Cody Williams was dealing with top 10 pick expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I think we have another top 10 pick who's a lot more exciting, in my opinion. And I don't think anybody has any expectations of Cody Williams. I don't.
I think people have forgot about him outside of Jazz fans.
Honestly, even for me, I'm like, if Cody Williams flops, it's like we kind of already saw that happen. So it's like I wouldn't be, you know, shedding a tear, right? Like, and I don't mean that in a bad way to him. I just mean like I have zero expectations for Cody Williams. So to see him like come in and like have some confidence, I'm like, dang, okay, like maybe with all the pressure off of him, he can just like become the player we hoped he would become originally. I think that would be awesome.
And I mean, this is a contract year for him.
Yeah.
After this year, we've got a team option, so he's got to play for his money.
Absolutely.
So.
And there's less guys in the way. Clarkson's gone. Collins is gone. I don't know what position we'll play at Cody Williams, but there's a lot more room, a lot more playing time available, I think. So.
Yeah, what would be, in your eyes, a successful season from Cody Williams next year?
I would honestly just like to see him like have regular minutes. Like, I don't expect him to start. I don't think that it's going to happen this year, but I think just like making his way in the rotation, and I don't know, that's kind of vague, but I think just having him on the floor is
nice. Totally agree. I think somewhere like under 20 minutes a game, probably where he just comes in and he just, I think just let the game come to you. Don't try and do too much.
Absolutely.
Hit the shots, drive to the paint every once in a while. I'd say a better year from Cody Williams for me would be the same thing where he's got a spot off the bench where he doesn't make bad decisions and he just lets the ball come to him. That's what I would say.
I think that kind of takes us to our next guy that I think is kind of interesting how they're going to compete with each other this year, but Ace Bailey.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts? I think he's only played, what, two games? So did he play the game you were at on Tuesday?
No. So okay. I didn't see him play in Salt Lake. I think he played two out of the three.
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And then he was planning on playing some in
I don't think he has yet, though, right?
In Vegas, yeah, but I don't think he's actually stepped foot in Vegas.
But and, two games, yeah. I guess. What did you have any thoughts about so far?
Let me just read the injury report, too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It just says it's like his hip. Hip flexors, I think is what they said.
Interesting.
So I'm sure that doesn't seem... That, to me, it doesn't seem like super serious injury, hopefully.
No. Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, he had a bad first game.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was okay.
Not great, yeah.
He missed a lot of shots. And then the second game was like really good. Kind of similar to Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Bad first game, good second game. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with him. I think if anything, he looks like he's trying to like sponge every little thing.
Absolutely.
He's picking up a lot from his teammates. He seems like he really wants to just learn and improve. And so I think I just love to see, even within one game, he improved a lot. See how he could improve in a season.
I totally agree. I thought to your point, I thought that was cool to see him like to his summer league coach standing there and taking instruction. Like he wasn't like, it didn't look like he was the number five pick in the draft. He was like listening.
Yeah.
And he was nodding his head and agreeing. And I don't know what they were saying, but I thought even the first game, I thought the stats didn't look great, but I actually don't think he took a lot of bad shots. I think he was taking his shots. He also had that block that was kind of exciting.
I mean, to him, nothing's a bad shot.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm excited about. It's just the fact that we have a guy now who's just is comfortable being the guy. Hopefully he can turn into the guy, but...
Yep.
Yeah, and then that second game, he played fantastic. Probably could have scored 30 or 40 if we weren't, like, keeping his minutes down for some reason.
But. Yeah, and I like how he's also playing pretty well off the ball. It wasn't like we were giving him the ball every single possession. No. Yeah. And he also did well rebounding, too, I thought. Mm-hmm. That's, like, an underrated skill.
Absolutely.
And then the game I went to on Tuesday in Salt Lake was probably Walter Clayton's best game.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where I saw Walter Clayton just kind of light it up from three.
He's special, dude.
He's also a great passer. He seems like not necessarily like 8 assists per game type of guy, but he'll know the right passes when he gets the ball.
It kind of feels like he just makes the right play.
Exactly.
Whether it's a look or... I thought there was a really good basket in the first Utah Summer League game where he like got the rebound and then he went coast to coast, like just weaving through, and then he kind of contact layup finished it. And I was like, this is going to get interesting with our point guard, like who's going to be our starting point guard at the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, if we have two great point guards, let's just play them both, you know,
we'll take it.
Give them both pretty good minutes.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
I've really loved what I'm seeing from Walter Clayton so far. But
oh yeah,
same with Isaiah Collier is leading, or he was at least leading in assists in summer league. I don't know if that's still the case. I haven't checked today. He was yesterday, as of yesterday.
He's number two in assists per game.
Oh, okay.
And he's played another game, so
he dropped down.
He probably is. I would assume he's the leader.
Yeah. So that's what we just expect from Isaiah Collier at this point. Mm-hmm. One thing I really love too from him, game one, I don't know if you saw the little fight that he got in, but he was like talking a lot. I was surprised how much I always seen Isaiah Collier as kind of this humble, like kind of quiet guy, but he was talking a lot.
Yeah.
And trash talking, but also like talking to his teammates, like telling them where they need to be. And I was like,
you got to remember, he was the number one high school player.
Yeah.
Back in his day, and I actually kind of cool. I think Ace Bailey and him both came from Georgia.
Oh, interesting.
So they played each other in high school.
That's cool, actually.
So I think Ace Bailey's excited to play with him because of that. But
yeah,
Collier's got that dog in him. He
dude,
number one high school player. He was the number one guy for a long time, and so I think he's still got some of that in him.
Yeah, and that's the personally, I don't think Lowry is much of a leader type. Jazz need a leader. And so if Isaiah Collier can turn into that just with how he's talking in the locker room, it's like, that's exciting to me. I thought he hasn't played great, but he's been pretty good.
I also just want to mention, I don't know if we talk about it too much, but I was also impressed with John Tanjay, the one game that he played. Did you end up watching that? Or at least I watched the highlights.
I saw a couple clips, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about him.
Yeah, he had I think he played only like 23 minutes and he had like 16 points or something like that.
Yeah.
So he was really good. He was hitting his 3-point shot to me looks very clean. Love how his jump shot looks.
Yeah.
If anything, we might have got a steal in the second round because he looks like he low key is the same as Johnny Juzang.
Yeah.
Like where at least he can hit shots.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what he ends up being, but he could be good.
Yeah. I keep seeing all these graphics. Given that we have all these guys, what do you think the Jazz starting lineup is going to look like week one? Ooh. Assuming everybody's healthy, what would you hope that our starting lineup would be?
Honestly, probably similar to like how it ended last year, minus the guys that are traded.
Yeah.
I'm starting Ace Bailey at the three with
I like that.
Markkanen and Kessler probably.
Yeah.
I think that's the easy part.
Yeah.
As for the guards, I'd probably still start Collier. And
ooh, that's tough.
It'd be hard. It's hard between like George and Clayton. But I think just because of the experience, I think we have to start Keyonte.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, Keyonte has been really good off the bench at times during the season. So I could see him playing like a six-man role where he still plays starter minutes, but he's coming off the bench.
Yeah.
But probably Collier and George or one of them plays six men.
It's going to be interesting because I think you could make some arguments. That's probably what I would do too. I think you can make an argument that Kyle Filipowski could fit in there. It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
that would work. But also Bryce,
maybe Laurie gets bumped up.
Yeah, I could see Bryce. We still don't know what Taylor Hendricks like. Maybe, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, Taylor Hendricks is getting lost in our minds.
Yeah, he could be there. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we still don't know. We really didn't see Keyonte play the two a lot last. He did a little, but we still don't know if that's where the Jazz are planning on playing him.
And I mean, that's what he played at Baylor, right?
Yeah, and most of his career, I think. So that'd be interesting. We'll see what happens week one.
But overall, I'd say even though we're 1-3 in summer league, I'd say it's a big win.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest win is just seeing Filipowski just play so well and know that we have guys that are too good for summer league. I like that. I like the way people say that.
I think so far, this seems like a pretty deep class from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
What's been like you seen any guys stand out to you throughout the NBA summer leagues?
Okay, I know I was a hater of the pick.
I feel like we're going to say the same thing.
But Jan Hansen?
Yep.
Were you going to say him too?
Yes, absolutely.
Dude, Jan Hansen was balling in summer league.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting a little bit, but I actually really liked what I was seeing from him.
Dude, and I saw the most legendary nickname. I don't know if you saw this. People in the comments started calling him the Big Tariff. And I was like, dude, that is a sick nick. I don't know if he's cool with that. Yeah. That's a sick nickname.
Dude, he probably doesn't even understand what's going on.
He actually legit doesn't speak any English. I've been surprised. And
like,
also
in interviews, he's just like, he says nothing.
And I saw a clip where he was standing in the paint and he's like pointing things out to his teammates, but he didn't realize he'd been in the paint. And he had no clue that he broke the rules. Like NBA, like American basketball is just the three and the key thing is a very NBA thing. So I was like, this guy's got some learning to do about the American game, but this is,
but he's
looks
been really
special.
Good.
Yeah.
He definitely has got like really good passing for a big man, like from the get. And I'm also impressed with like his finishing around the rim. He's got like these scoop layups that are pretty nice.
Yeah. He's very patient.
Yeah. Yeah. I also saw a funny interview with him and they were like, what do you like to do outside of basketball? And he's like, eat and sleep.
Me too.
Yeah. So like some fans have like posters that say like eat. And then they also gave him a PS5.
Nice.
So that says eat, sleep, PS5.
Nice.
Jan Hansen. So I don't know, but he's been really good. I know as a hater on the pick, because I think he could have got taken later, but
yeah,
like what I've been seeing from him.
The Blazers might have played everybody. Who knows?
It's true.
Yeah, another guy that we saw him here in Salt Lake, but VJ Edgecombe, I thought.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He looked like he was too good for summer league, to be honest. He was, I think game one he scored like 37 or 8 on us.
Yeah.
So pretty crazy.
Have you watched Yegor Demin at all? His highlights?
I have seen a little. He's looked okay.
He's looked decent.
I thought his shots looked a little better. That Nets summer league team's actually like been looking pretty good.
Drew Timmy's averaging 25 a game.
He's
so,
balling, yeah.
He's on a team with a whole bunch of passers, and he's not a passer.
Yeah,
so
no.
He's been
at all.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's been good.
I've also been impressed with Reed Sheppard. Yeah. I think people forget about him. He was the number 3 pick last year.
I really legit thought he was going to be like rookie of the year candidate this year, but they just didn't play him a lot. So
yeah, so I'm hoping he gets a lot more minutes because he looks really good.
Similarly, Rob Dillingham I thought looked really good. A lot of those, actually those Wolves guys, Terrence Shannon Jr. I thought looked really good.
I'd say Shannon Jr. looks like steal of a draft last year too.
Absolutely.
He's like a real rotational player for them.
Yeah. I guess going to the top, Cooper Flagg, I actually thought he looked pretty good. I know there's a lot of pressure on him. Haven't seen anything too crazy yet, but I don't think they've been putting a lot of minutes on him. But I thought he's looked pretty good. I've seen some nice plays from him.
It feels like that's like how it's been the last couple of years where the star players just play like 2 games.
Yeah.
Like Wemby did that too.
We didn't see Dylan Harper. Carter Bryant, though, have you seen
it? He's been really good. I think he's an NBA player 100%.
Defensively, I've been surprised to see how good he is.
Yeah.
He gets up pretty high.
I'm also impressed with Neat Clifford.
Ooh, I was
He's averaging 18, 6 rebounds, 5 assists.
Yeah.
And he also is shooting 52% from 3.
It's crazy.
Like, so far. He doesn't shoot a lot, but
yeah.
I still low-key wish we got him, but I'm... very happy with Walter Clayton as well, but he's been good.
Absolutely. Yeah, we haven't really seen a lot from, to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of Hornets games, but Con Knipple.
Yeah.
Not much to be seen there.
He's been all right. Yeah. He hasn't like blown anybody away, but I think he's been good enough.
I've seen Jeremiah Fierce hit a couple nice shots.
Trey Johnson's played really well.
Trey Johnson's been playing well. Yeah.
He's only played two games as well.
Yeah, so this is kind of crazy. It feels like this class is looking like it's going to be pretty deep, but you never know till a couple years down the road. So
yeah, definitely.
We'll see.
Well, I guess that could take us to maybe some NBA news.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 2 weeks, but thankfully yesterday some huge NBA news came, so I'm glad we're here to record after.
Yeah.
But Lillard goes back to the Blazers, which is insane to me.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
When I heard that news, I was just happy.
Really?
Because I think Dame, like, he's a human, right? He's got a family. He's got, like, different things going on. And I think just him being back in Portland is good for him as a human being. Maybe not for him as, like, trying to win a championship, like a lot of guys are trying to do at the end of their career. But if anything, I just like the story. It just makes me feel happy. I know it's not maybe the championship thing, but feels good.
I don't think I'm a huge fan of it. I do like that point, though. He loves Portland. I don't know if we've ever seen an NBA player love their city as much as Dame Lillard loves Portland. Like, he just...
Yeah, he's their best Blazer of all time.
Yeah, he loves them. They love him. There's going to be a statue of him out front of the stadium, no doubt.
Probably.
I don't know. I feel like the Blazers were building towards something. They did give him kind of a lot of money.
Yeah.
For a guy who just tore his ACL in his 40s or in his 30s.
I think he's got 2 years and then like a player option.
Yeah. So I'm honestly not a fan. I don't think that the Blazers are as close as I think they are. Like, this kind of felt like a win now thing, but you're probably right. It probably has more to do with just the fact that he's Dame Lillard. And to be honest, if you look at it, they pretty much got like 3 first round picks and then they got Dame back anyways.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about. So
yeah, and also like he was making like $50 million per year, and now he's getting $40 million over 3 years.
Yeah,
so it's like significantly less
plus what he's getting from
than
the Bucks
what he was getting before. So and he's going to be getting paid from the Bucks for the next 5 years. So for him, money wise, great for Dame because he's getting his money. And then also Blazers, honestly, the contract isn't too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I agree. I don't know exactly how he'll fit in. It's kind of funny that Jrue Holiday and him are on the same team now after they got traded for each other.
Yeah, we got the big tariff and Dame time. And
yeah, but I mean, he won't play at all next year. So just you have to look a year ahead for this.
That's the truth, yeah.
Yeah.
But my guess is that this is where Dame will retire now. I mean, we kind of already...
I could see it.
Yeah. It makes me... 3 years kind of seems like his window for me too. Like he was slowing it down a little this year, and also that's a big injury to come back from when you're 30. What is he? 34, I think. He's a little up there.
Yeah,
so.
He's getting up there for sure. He's probably got like maybe the end of this contract. Honestly,
might be it. Yeah,
for how many years he'll keep playing.
Another guy on his last contract. Well, probably not his last contract, but Bradley Beal was waived by the Suns. I guess.
They did a fancy buyout too, where they're going to be paying him a little bit.
Yeah, so I guess he had a no trade clause. It still boggles my mind how he got a no trade clause.
Oh, and I think Dame got a no trade clause.
Oh, did he?
On his new contract.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Beal, I guess Suns couldn't find a trade for him, so they just waived him. He just signed with the Clippers.
Yeah.
Clippers, low-key loading up a little bit. John Collins is a good pickup. Bradley Beal's a good pickup. I guess he just. Play around hard.
They also got Brook Lopez. Don't forget about that.
That's true.
Brook Lopez as a backup is awesome.
That's killer, yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you can just load up so you don't have to rely on Kawhi so much, I think you can still rely on James Harden a lot.
Yeah.
I think he still plays at a pretty high level.
Yeah, the Clippers were a really good defense last year as a team, even though, you know, Harden's not always going to be a great defender. Beal is like not going to be a crazy defender, but the rest of the team is... pretty solid.
Yeah, Beal, not even that long ago, had a scoring title in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Harden, who's arguably one of the greatest isolation scorers in history.
Zubac, Defensive Player of the Year.
Norman
Powell
was a...
Norman Powell got traded, though.
Oh, did he? That's
right. He was
I forgot
Collins.
About that. Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot. Yeah. That's part of that trade.
But Collins will fit in pretty well, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you say the Clippers look better going into next season than the Warriors or the Lakers?
Yeah, definitely. I think the Lakers, the Warriors have not made a, I still don't think they've made a single move. There's talks they were going to sign Horford. Yeah, but,
it's likely they'll probably get Horford, but.
Which is a good pickup for them. Them and the Lakers are kind of similar situation. I don't know who's better, Horford or Ayton at this point. It's kind of sixes to me. Like, they're just kind
you're
of
just like, oh, they rebound. Yeah, sure.
An old guy who was really good funny. Or DeAndre Ayton. Or a guy
that just has no motivation to actually work
yeah,
hard.
It's probably about the same at this point. So yeah, I'd honestly, yeah, you don't even need Kawhi to go crazy on that team. And, you know, when Kawhi does play, he does go crazy. So, you know. I'd probably take Clippers in a 7-game series over either of those teams.
Yeah, I think I'd say the Clippers look better than the Lakers as of right now. Mm-hmm. But the Warriors, I'd think about it because I know what Jimmy Butler can be when he's at his full strength. But we just haven't seen it in like 2 years.
There's still just no bench, though.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's hard to say. I'd probably go with Clippers, but I would give the Warriors the benefit of the doubt if Jimmy ends up being like playoff Jimmy.
Cole Anthony. Got bought out by the Grizzlies, right?
Yeah, Grizzlies.
Part of the Desmond Bane trade.
He's replacing Damian Lillard in Milwaukee.
I actually am kind of, I know you're a pseudo Bucks fan, but I kind of like what the Bucks are building, even
really?
Though.
Because I remember you said they were a loser of free agency.
Well, I still think that the way they handled the Dame thing is just. They really did screw themselves. But I like the way this team's looking right now. I'm kind of like Cole Anthony's a blanket.
Cole Anthony, they needed a guard desperately.
Yeah, I think Miles Turner is like the perfect center to play next to Giannis. He can stretch, but also play big when Giannis is on the floor. So
honestly, Kuzma can play the end of the bench. We don't even need Kuzma.
Kevin Porter Jr. looked a lot better last year than he has for a while.
Gary Trent, dude.
Gary Trent
was a bucket. Yeah. I could see him starting.
Yeah. So I still stand behind that might go down as one of the worst free agencies ever, but I don't know. I don't hate their team. I'd still probably not want to play them in a 7-game series.
Yeah, definitely not. I like Cole Anthony with them too. They just need, because Kevin Porter Jr. is like good as he played last year. I don't really want to like rely on him to score. And so I think Cole Anthony gives you another guy where there's a lot less pressure on Kevin Porter Jr. to do something.
He's a quality starting point guard too, Cole Anthony. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Shea, the free throw merchant, the cover of 2K26. Seen a lot of talks about it being an AI cover.
It literally is.
Yeah. Like, I think there was something out there about how Al Horford was on there twice. Did you see that?
Yes. I see it. I think he is.
Yeah. To me, the cover doesn't even matter that much anymore because it used to matter when I would go buy the copy.
The physical.
But I don't buy any copies anymore, so.
Yeah, I guess when you boot up the game, it's like more the loading screen nowadays you look at.
Anything's better than Tatum. I hate that guy so much. So I'll look at Shea, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even buy a 2K25, so I'm still looking at Devin Booker.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So, but anyways, I don't know. It's cool that Shea's on the cover. I mean, he's basically had everything happen this year.
Yeah, he's earned it.
We also saw the Thunder opened up their wallets.
Yeah.
They're going to be paying Shea like $280 million, J-Dub $250 million, Chet $250 million.
Yep.
That's insane, man.
If you're wondering what's going to happen with the Thunder, just look at what the Boston Celtics are right now. Like, the fact that Celtics paid $100 million for just two guys. The Thunder, I think they have like barely any money to give out now.
Yeah, future, I think basically what I'm guessing their plan is moving forward, like financially with their players, is Hartenstein's contract's going to end pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And that's when...
I think Lou Dort lands too.
Yeah, that's when like they'll have one really bad cap year next year where they're way over the cap. When those two contracts kick in. But then Hartenstein's going to come off the books. Mm-hmm. And then they drafted Thomas Sorber, so they'll be able to have him as a center on a rookie deal.
That's true.
And then they also drafted, what's his name, Topic.
Has looked okay.
They still have Carson Wallace, Kaysen Wallace, mm-hmm. and some other guys. So I'm thinking they just pay their top three guys maxes and then just have all rookie deals. At least that's kind of what I'm seeing, and maybe they'll be able to make that work.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of those max contracts is, like, 25 to 30% of the cap.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to work with. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they do that. Sam Presti's so smart. He'll probably figure out a way to finesse it. And then the salary cap gets bigger every year, so maybe this contract in 3 years won't be that bad.
It'll be interesting to see, too, with the a lot of players have been critical of the CBA with the aprons that has kind of caused all this to happen. But I don't know if you saw Fred VanVleet was just named the new president of the Players Association. So CJ McCollum is out over there, and he was the one that negotiated that. So it'd be interesting to see if that stays now that everybody's gotten a taste of what.
Yeah. If anything, like, I'm a fan of the apron in the sense that we don't get another Golden State Warriors situation where they sign KD.
It'd be really hard to be a dynasty in this NBA, which I like it.
I think it gives the Jazz a lot more of a chance.
Yeah.
Because those super teams fall apart. It gives a window for other teams to step in, and hopefully that could be us in a few years.
I mean, if the Thunder, Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Pacers can go to the finals, the Jazz are just as big of a market as either of those markets. So it's
if we draft well, we could totally be there.
Absolutely. Man, AJ DeBonsa, what a guy.
Dude, he's been on like a media tour. It seems like he's talking to the media here and there a lot, getting ready for the season, it looks like, in the gym.
I think I saw that he signed a $10 million NIL deal. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
I want to say it was with... Yeah, he signed an 8-year NIL deal with Fanatics, and it was reported that it was like $10 million plus.
Oh, wow.
Kind of crazy. You got college athletes making... Or actually, yeah, so it said it was an 8-figure deal, whatever that means. I guess that could mean $10 million or $99 million, but...
Crazy. Dude, I mean, he deserves... He's like...
Yeah.
He's one of the best players in the nation. I think they saw that USA thing and said, we'll pay him.
One thing I just really am like growing to admire about AJ is just that he's like, whoever he's playing for, he's committed. Like when he's on Team USA, he's talking about how much he loves playing on Team USA, and he's here at BYU, he's embracing the culture, and like,
yeah, did you see he pulled up at church?
I saw that. I think that's
awesome,
brother DeBonsa.
Brother,
I sustain you.
Sure, sure. He was quoted as saying, or they asked him what his expectation is for the like NCAA tournament next year, and he said that Sweet 16 is the bare minimum.
Ooh, let's go.
So, I mean, isn't that what we did last year? Like, we made the Sweet 16, so
build up from here.
You just gotta, you gotta keep it going up, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping we at least compete a little better for a Big 12 championship. I think that would be my
cool that would thing, be good. I think
Houston's not as good this year, but they're always good. Kansas has got Jared Peterson. That'll be fun to watch.
That's gonna be a rivalry, probably.
Yeah, it will be.
With Kansas and BYU,
especially if BYU keeps staying up in the recruiting, it's gonna turn into a real. They haven't beat us yet in the Big 12 though, so you know.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, I guess another local sports thing. There's the ESPYs yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
And actually, a Utah.
Oh, a high school.
Girl. I saw that. Awesome. I remember her name's Jade, but I can't remember her last name. She's from Provo.
That's so cool.
And she won the Gatorade Women's National Player of the Year.
Dude, let's go.
Which, that's what Cooper Flagg won last year and Paige Breckers. Mm-hmm. But she's from Provo, Utah, won the National Player of the Year. That's what do you so think great. Of that?
Dude, that's so... And I don't know how BYU turned it, or like Provo turned into like the epicenter of track and field or cross country, because we're just taking over.
Totally is.
It's insane. It's so cool. I think she's committed to BYU too, right?
Yeah, she's coming to BYU as a freshman this next
year.
So
awesome.
She just graduated out of high school.
That's going to be sick.
Yeah, but anyways, so Jane, it's Jane Hedengren.
Okay.
She went to Tempview High School in Provo, Utah.
Nice.
She broke multiple national high school records, like the mile, 2 mile, 3,000 meter, 5,000 meter. So
that's so crazy.
I mean, she's fantastic. So I don't know, just some Utah pride right there. Jane winning the Gatorade Player of the Year.
Oh, it's so awesome. Yeah. And then, we've already kind of talked about this a little. Sounds like we might have a split opinion on it, but Salt Lake Stars have some new logos, new branding. What do you think?
I actually was a big fan. I sent you a text like when that came out, and I was like, I actually love this logo.
When I saw that, I was like, ooh, we're gonna have to talk about this because I don't agree.
I didn't know you weren't a fan.
Yeah.
Maybe time will tell how good people like these new jerseys. But I don't know. I'm a fan of like a simple logo, and it really is just the word stars. It's got a star on it. Like, I don't need much more than that. Just keep it simple, and I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, that's fair. I think my biggest gripe is I'm just so tired of, like, as a Jazz fan, the branding changing so often, like, so drastically. I feel like the colors are always just, like, swinging, like even whether it's the Stars or the Jazz, we're wearing highlighter yellow, or we're, like, purple and black, and we're green, and we're, like, it's like, bro, I just think it's funny. Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of the logo. I thought it was a little... I don't know.
The thing with the logo is it is like reimagined version of the old Utah ABA team logo.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So at least like that's kind of cool. Kind of maybe some retro vibes, but I could see.
Yeah.
Not everyone has to be a fan. That's all right.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. Just didn't love it. So, you know, this is what it is.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. We're excited from what we've seen at Summer League with Kyle Filipowski and others, and excited to see what that'll turn into as this next season. Make sure to continue following our podcast through the off season. We'll continue posting as we get closer to the season. Leave us 5 stars on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you can find us, and take care.
Peace.